The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're going to hear really one of the weirdest garden stories ever produced by Diarmaid Gavan, horticulturist, garden designer, Chelsea Gold Medal winner. Diarmaid, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
The Atomic Gardens.
Yeah, absolutely extraordinary story. Something I've been aware of for years, tracing imagery from Life magazine, from a photo shoot, a photojournalism that they produced. So we're talking post-World War II. We're talking post the terrible events of the bombs.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
And a terrible loss of life. But we're also beginning to understand how that came about, how those bombs were developed, nuclear energy, and all the different scientific forces that came together to do that. So post-World War II, the United States really wanted to control that. Russia was coming up in terms of their nuclear advancements. But
nuclear had a bad name. I mean, it was about bombs.
Had a terrible name. So after the World War, there was a new sense of enterprise around. There was a new sense of optimism. There was a new sense of entrepreneurship. And one of the ways the United States decided to harness the atom kind of industry was to launch a whole thing with the United Nations to say, look, we can do stuff with atoms for the good.
For the good of people.
Yes.
I mean, the most simple thing we all know is the nuclear reactor for fuel. And there are downsides in terms of disposal of fuel and some of the waste products being used to develop nuclear weapons themselves. But then, on the other hand, you have isotopes being used in medicine. Very important.
And very important, and that was one of the things, combat disease, but also that they were promoting at that stage. But also they decided, right, we can do something with plants here, because you probably understand the effect of being exposed to rays and gamma rays.
The mutations that can take place.
Mutations. So they reckoned that if they carried out these experiments and got the whole country involved, and not just America, it also happened in Britain too, they could develop mutations in plants or in seeds, so the embryo of that plant. And some of the mutations could be beneficial.
Now, it's interesting, when I read this story, which you sent me last evening, I was reminded of Atoms in Action in Ireland. This was a US Atomic Energy Commission exhibition which came to the RDS, and it gave researchers in Ireland the opportunity to work with a small nuclear reactor to do certain experiments. I would think it was in the 60s sometime.
Yes.
Because I found an RTE archive report on that.
It's amazing. So that is America in action, trying to promote around the world the way they would promote culture, or the way, you know, Britain have the British Council here, or whatever. So to influence the world. And what they were doing at home in terms of gardens and in terms of farms, agriculture and plants, was they set up these gamma farms. So they would pick a place that was kind of isolated. They would get some cobalt-60. So cobalt is a naturally occurring metal. They would radiate that. Then they would transport it very, very carefully in lead-lined containers or in water to these farms. They would build a pit in the ground, lead-lined pit. They would create this kind of spire, I suppose, in the centre of it. On top of that spire would be a capsule, a sealed, welded, sealed steel capsule. And the spire could go up and down.
And thus exposing the plants to gamma rays.
So when it was done, it was absolutely safe, because the farmers and workers and scientists could get in around it. What the farmers would do is they would set out in rings of concentric circles, either planted in the ground or in pots, plants, all sorts of different types of plants. And then they would withdraw, they would raise the spire remotely, and then those plants would be exposed to the gamma rays.
Now, obviously, the ones that are closest to the gamma rays get the most exposure. The ones most farthest away in this series of concentric circles would get the least radiation.
Yes.
What were the results?
Well, the results, the ones that were closest would be burnt beyond recognition or whatever. The ones that were furthest away would be just to your eye, nothing had changed. But the mutation had probably taken place inside. Or if those plants were holding seeds, the mutation may have taken place inside.
It's completely random. They had no idea what mutation was going to take place.
So it was a long process. And one of the things they set upon was to promote this idea of atomic seeds. So they got lots of seed companies involved. They sold through these seed companies all sorts of different plants, from marigolds to peppermint to you name it, to wheat to barley, through fairs and through garden centres and through different brands. People were utterly fascinated. So you'd go to their version, let's say the Chelsea Flower Show or the Ideal Home Show, and there'd be a salesperson there and you would be amazed. And this is what the Life photojournalists did so well. They produced this series of images, some of which I've put up on Instagram.
It's extraordinary. I mean, you have normal dwarfed tomatoes and then you've the new atomic tomatoes side by side.
And you're encouraged to buy the seeds of these tomatoes, and you'd get two packets for $1.50, which is really quite expensive back in those days. But then you'd read the back of the pack, and the back of the pack pretty much says, it gives you absolutely what's happened. It gives you the science, just as I've recounted it here to you today. But it says, we don't know what's going to happen. So you're a part of an experiment. And if you see any mutations, now, what sort of mutations are you looking for? If the plant doesn't do well at all, if it withers and dies, let us know. But if it is a plant that grows incredibly fast, that is lower and stronger than your usual tomato, so it'll be able to bear more tomatoes, more fruit on the vine, let us know. So everybody was taking part in this experiment.
At the back of the seed pack, there's a kind of FAQs.
Yes.
Frequently asked questions. What does radiation do? And it gives an answer. Gamma rays tend to shake up the normal balance system of the embryo inside the plant. It goes on. Will everyone find changes? We do not know. We have irradiated these seeds in an attempt to produce changes. What can you discover? No one knows.
that was it. So you were really part of an experiment. But that was getting you far away from the Cold War, far away from the bomb that was dropped. And you were associating the atomic kind of industry with something like agriculture. And indeed, it worked in some cases.
Why? Did they produce some mutations into production then?
Yes. So let's say peppermint. So it's a plant and that industry was on its knees. So every bit of peppermint or mint chewing gum we consume at the moment is as a result of these, of a mutation carried out in that plant by this.
And this
industry
was a random mutation.
Yep.
Because of the irradiation of gamma.
And also barley. So a lot of breweries, even in Britain, began to use mutated barley crops because the barley was shorter, more resistant to disease. It was stronger and it could hold an awful lot more seeds.
Now, it's extraordinary that we have now genetically modified seeds, which we don't use in the EU, but they use in the United States and elsewhere. So we're doing something different now.
We're doing something different, which has its own dangers in a way and its own kind of moral aspects to it too, because a lot of these genetically modified seeds are now owned by...
They're patented.
Patented, owned by big... So it means farmers in places in this country, but in places... Well, they're not used, as you say, in this country, but in parts of Africa or whatever, where these seeds might do very well because they might respond to drought conditions or whatever, but the farmers aren't allowed to collect the seeds to sow themselves the following year. So it's all gone back to...
They have business. To buy they new to buy seed, seeds. Seed stock yes. every year.
Yes, yeah. Or if they don't have to do that now, the seed companies now have the rights to impose that further down the line.
And the way in which the modifications are done is much more clinical now, using a different technology.
That's right, all in the laboratory, but no less time-consuming, I'm sure. But what was interesting about this atomic plants whole experiment was the people became the scientists. So you were encouraged to buy these seeds and then report back in. I know in places like Nature Watch or whatever, they'll ask people to take part in experiments about how many birds of certain type or whale watch or whatever. Mm. So this was plant watch, but for atomic mutations.
How did the movement die?
In the end, it just kind of fizzled out. I think it was a newfangled thing. It certainly had some beneficial results, but as the Cold War really got into people's consciousness, the idea of the atom was no longer seen as an attractive thing, and it just kind of faded away. There was a woman in Britain who set up her own element of it. Her name was Muriel Howard. She was a theatre-loving organiser who had long been fascinated by nuclear science, and she had been sent a mutant peanut from North Carolina. She planted it and was rewarded with a plant almost 2 foot tall. So she set up the Atomic Garden Society in 1951 and secured irradiated seeds from the US and posted them to gardeners all around Britain, and had pamphlets and books and was interviewed and whatever. But even that faded out because it was only a peanut plant. So it was a new idea. People love new ideas, but in the end, there was no atomic
age. It is a truly extraordinary story. And, you know, coming full circle, nuclear reactors being used by the people who are running data centres now. Google are going to be using modular, tiny nuclear reactors.
Yes, because I remember the day of the protest down in Carnsore and whatever, when it was a huge topic. Now some people are considering it cleaner than other energy generating options.
Now, that's a fascinating story, Dermot. We were talking earlier about luminescent paint, phosphorescent paint, and I said, was it related to this item? This is the idea, a new paint that you can put road markings in. It'll absorb the energy by day and emit it at night. So
like phosphorus.
Yeah, exactly like that. We need well-maintained roads and verges for that to work. Maybe we could have illuminated car paint, says Liam and Navin.
I can understand that, but well maintained. We have been conditioned for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to control nature. And the way we use maintain grass verges and whatever isn't the right way, because we have to use chemicals, huge amount of labor, even petrol for kind of machinery. So letting nature do its thing and regarding nature as softening the edges of roads, I think is a better idea.
All right, Dermot Gavin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.